The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
It seems to me that Gaza has somewhat gone off our screens and news headlines in the last few weeks, but the humanitarian problems, particularly for children, have actually worsened. We're joined on the line from Brussels now on a secondment there for the moment. Normally talking to us from Gaza is Jonathan Crix, Chief of Communications for UNICEF in Palestine. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, I was watching on RT television last night, and Doyle was doing an emergency aid appeal on behalf of UNICEF. What exactly is the situation on the ground?
Well, the situation is getting worse every day. And, you know, people have been displaced many times, 4, 5, 6 times. And now what we see is that we have more than 1.7 million, and it's probably going to be 1.9 million. It's almost the entirety of the Gaza population who has been displaced. And most of them are now in areas like Al-Mawasi or Deir al-Bala. These are areas which where there is absolutely no infrastructure. So the issues that these people were facing in terms of access to water, access to food, access to medical support or services, all this is made even worse. And all this is taking place in a context of very intense bombardment, violence, fighting, and with little aid getting in, despite all our efforts. So the picture that we are having in front of us is very bleak. Just yesterday, there was an evacuation order for quarter of people, 250,000 people who had to move from an area called Khan Yunis. I mean, what we have to understand is that it's more than the entire population of Limerick County. I mean, it's a lot of people, a lot of mothers, a lot of children who have already been displaced several times. We need to move again in search of a place to sleep and a place to eat and some water to drink.
Are the trucks getting through? There were real problems at the border in relation to humanitarian access. Has that problem been resolved?
So the situation in terms of humanitarian aid being distributed is still very challenging. I don't want to bombard with figures, but just to give an idea, in April there were approximately 5,600 trucks that entered the Gaza Strip. And then in May, it was approximately 3,000 trucks. So, and then in the beginning of June, just the first 2 weeks, it was a bit more than 500 trucks. So there is really, you can see that there is a reduction of the number of trucks that can enter. And that is for many reasons. One of the reasons is clearly the fact that you have ongoing fighting and that, you know, security reasons are very problematic. But what we call for is to have as many entry points as possible and as many facilitation on the ground to allow that humanitarian aid to be distributed. That being said, we are still working, we are still on the ground, the UN and UNICEF are still on the ground delivering. For example, just a few days, had 7 trucks which entered via the north of the Gaza Strip to bring in high energy biscuits and infant formula. And that is particularly important because, as you know, malnutrition is a very big issue that we are facing and that the children are facing, especially the young children between 0 and 5 years old are facing in the Gaza Strip. So we are delivering, but in extremely difficult conditions.
We saw devastation in relation to hospitals and so on. What is the sort of medical capacity in Gaza at the moment?
So things are changing so fast. It's sometimes difficult to even keep track. What I can say is that we have on less than 10 out of 36 hospitals that are only partially functioning. So and We have hospitals which are regularly, for example, if it's in an area where an evacuation order was issued, of course, these hospitals cannot be used by children or pregnant women and these, you know, these vulnerable people. So the situation is extremely limited. What we know is that also the medical supplies which are available are also limited, despite the fact that we provided UNICEF medical supplies for more than 600,000 people in the past 9 months. But when you see the scale of the needs, when you see the number of injured children, when you see injured children waiting on a corridor in a hospital, waiting on the floor to have his or her injury treated, this is unacceptable. And clearly, in order to be able to provide, you know, health services at scale, what is absolutely needed is a ceasefire. Without a ceasefire, you cannot have the health systems being reestablished and actual health services being developed.
Speaking of ceasefire, my recent recollection of it was that as the Israeli Defense Forces moved from north to south, we were left with this situation in Rafah. And the Americans were putting a lot of pressure on the Israelis to hold back from intensively going into Rafah. What's the current state of play there?
Well, the situation in the south of the Gaza Strip since the beginning of May has been absolutely dramatic. So we have witnessed a lot of fighting, bombardments, large-scale population displacements. So the situation in Rafah is actually extremely worrying. If in March and April the situation in the north was the most worrying, especially because there was acute severe malnutrition cases. We had reported by the Ministry of Health indicating that children were dying from malnutrition, etc. Now we see a little bit more aid being conveyed in the north and a situation which is extremely dramatic in the south. Clearly the situation is the source in the south and in the Rafah area is extremely worrying.
Now, there was criticism, Jonathan, at one stage in relation to UMRA, and the Israelis said that, you know, they were putting sort of restrictions on the humanitarian relief because they suspected of links to Hamas. What happened to that controversy? I know the Irish government continued supporting UMRA. Did it affect state donations?
What is important to keep in mind, I mean, I'm not really the best place to comment on what is the latest on this case with UNRWA. But what I can say is that UNRWA is the largest agency that can provide support in the Gaza Strip at a large scale. UNRWA has been leading many schools, many hospitals, humanitarian aid and the role that they are playing in the distribution of that humanitarian aid is major. And we cannot have currently a situation in which UNRWA is not operating. They are employing thousands of people who are supported the civilian population in the Gaza Strip. What I also noted is that many countries, after the allegations were made, have resumed their support to UNRWA.
Finally, this urgent appeal for Gazan aid by UNICEF. If someone's listening and they want to contribute, what's the best way to do so? Or is your aim mostly at government organizations to give extra support?
I mean, clearly, every support when it comes to bringing food and water is extremely welcome. And I want to just seize the opportunity to highlight the immense role of UNICEF Ireland, who has been able to support the children in Palestine, in the Gaza Strip, and in the West Bank outstandingly. So what I think that this remains a very, very clear and powerful way to help the children in need. You know, I met many children in the Gaza Strip. There are 4 years old. I met with Sila. She's 4 years old. She lost her entire family. She lost her leg. And, you know, she didn't do anything to deserve what's happening to her. So I genuinely believe that the support that can be provided to young girls like Sila in Gaza is very useful and very impactful.
Jonathan Crix, Chief of Communications for UNICEF in Palestine, thank you for joining us on The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.